and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now here is Brother Chad Johnson with today's message.
Last week we stopped in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15. Excuse me, so I'm going to read that verse and we'll keep on going through this chapter. But as he, talking about Christ, which hath called you, is holy. God's holy. That's one of the greatest attributes of God, is his holiness. That's why I believe God, you know, when Moses tried to approach God, he had to go backwards into him. He couldn't even look on God. God is a God of holiness. He turned his back on Christ on the cross, and I believe God couldn't look on the sin of man, though God sees all. But there's just something about the holiness of God, and although Christ had to die alone, we know that. No, none of his disciples, his followers, they were all, you know, scattered, turned their back on him pretty well. But God is a God of holiness. He's so holy and righteous. It's far above what we can even comprehend. But as he which is holy, which hath called you, is holy. Now, just as God's holy, so be ye holy. Holiness is not a denomination. Holiness is not a few rules and a few stipulations. Holiness is the word holiness. Let's just look at what the word holy means. It comes from the same word that sanctification comes from. It means to be set apart. To be sanctified, set apart from common use unto holy use, unto godly use. I think about a prime example of the Old Testament of this was the vessels that were used in the tabernacle and then later in the temple. You had the vessels, the pots, the pans. You had the golden candlestick. You had different things that were used in the ceremonial law of the offering of the sacrifices. And those things were sanctified unto the Lord. They were set apart not to be used in common everyday use of cooking or washing or carrying your vegetables out of the garden. No, they were set apart to do the sacrifices of the Lord. And those of us that are saved, we're sanctified. Both positionally, we have been set apart by the blood of Christ. But there is a practical sanctification, and that's what it's talking about here. Be ye sanctified. Be ye set apart. And be you practically. What do you practice? See, it's not enough. We're positionally, there's only one kind of justification. That's positional. We're set. We're justified positionally before God through the blood of Christ, and that cannot be changed. We are sanctified. We are set apart from the world and ungodliness and sin unto Christ by His blood. We will be glorified. We are set apart through sanctification. We will be glorified when the Lord translates this body through the rapture, or if we die and our soul goes to heaven at the resurrection, we'll get that glorified body. But see, sanctification has two aspects to it. As far as our salvation, that there is a practical. What do you practice? And that's what Peter's talking, to be holy in all manner of conversation, not just in part of our life. See, conversation, of course, you know, a lot of people think that conversation, you know, we had a good conversation. They think it's just talking, you know, communicating with words. But the word conversation in the Scripture means our manner of life, not just in our speech, but in our work life, our home life, our business life, our social life. See, a lot of people, you know, that's the problem in all manner of conversation. That's where the problem is in a lot of Christians or professed Christians' lives. They've got a practice that they do on Sunday, and the way they live, and the way they dress, and the way they talk. But when the church bell rings on Sunday and they head out the door, they hang their Sunday hat on the peg and their Sunday clothes there at the door, and they have a different manner of conversation Monday through Saturday. Then they swap it back and they live one way at their house and one way if they're out here, and they act one way at work. See, that is so inconsistent with what the Bible talks about as being holy in all. If you underline in your Bible, I did it in mine to remind me, because we all need to be reminded. There, you know, I'm not talking down on you here. I'm reminding Chad Johnson that we are to be holy in all manner of conversation. We are to be set apart from the world. That's why when we're going to do certain activities, I'm for having a good time, but you ought to have a good time in a holy way. That's why I'm not against my daughters. They go swimming over at their grandparents' house. They've got a privacy fence. The girls swim only, and I'm not against that, but you've got to be holy in your conversation. We wouldn't just say, well, let's go to the beach or swim in a public pool and just be out there running around half naked with everybody else. See, we ought to be holy our in all manner of our conversation. I mean, when we go to do things that are entertaining, we're watchful and don't go to maybe the movie theaters, and we don't go to rock and country and worldly concerts, and we just have to be holy, not just in our church life and the time that we're in the building. See, a lot of people think if they're good there, that's all it means and all we need, but we're to be holy when I go to work and when you go to work, whatever we talk about and engaged in and how we act there and how we conduct ourselves there ought to be in all manner of holy conversation. When we're at home, we oughtn't to be, though we all have times. I mean, you're more comfortable at home than you are anywhere else. I mean, we all have family arguments. We have disputes. We have days where, you know, we wouldn't want anybody to come by and visit us on those days because the way things are. I mean, that's normal, but it shouldn't be a pattern in a way of life. We ought to strive to be holy in all manner of our conversation, though whether it be at the meeting of the church when the church assembles, or if it's in our recreation time, in our work time, in our leisure time. We ought to remember that we're called. We have been called to holiness in all manner of conversation. Because in verse 16 it is written, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." There is no other thing, no other greater call of a Christian than to try to strive to be holy as God is. Not that we become a God like some false denominations and religions teach, but that we are being conformed to His image. See, the Bible talked about being predestinated and conformed to the image of Christ. See, God determined that we that are saved would be conformed to the image of Christ. And that ought to be our desire, is to be conformed to the image of Christ. Verse 17. "And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear." We should pass the time of our sojourning here in fear. Now, let's look at this verse a little bit. "And if ye call on the Father," I believe he's saying you're saved. Saved people call on the Father. He is your Father. "Who without respect of persons judgeth every man according to his works." See, men, we all are subject to not be as harsh. Well, that's not even a good word. We're all subject, though we shouldn't be, if it's somebody we like, to overlook a little bit more of what they do if it's not right than it's somebody we don't know or don't particularly care a lot of, you know, don't like anyway. But we ought to be consistent and say if it's mom and dad, it's the Bible. And it's right, and it's God's word. If they're right, they're right. If it's brother or sister, if it's aunt or uncle, if it's preacher, if it's friend, if it's grandpa, if it's the person that I really don't know, but if it's right, it's right, and it's wrong, it's wrong. And it ought to be without respect of persons. "For if you call on the Father who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work." If this is the case, then pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. I think what he's telling us there is because God doesn't respect persons as far as he doesn't overlook my sin, but the sin of this one, he doesn't think just because this guy is pastoring a bigger church or if he's pastoring a small church or if you're a Sunday school teacher or if you're a deacon or if you're a certain, no, God does not have a respect of persons, and because He doesn't, we ought to live this life in the fear. It's not a fear of just trembling so bad I can't walk, but it's a reverential fear, and the fear that, yeah, we ought to be fearful of God, because God's going to judge every man. Talking about the saved here. I mean, the lost will be judged at the great white throne judgment for their things that they've done, and then be cast into the lake of fire. But He's talking to saved people, and He said that we ought to live in the fear, a reverential fear, and know that God is keeping a record. God is watching what we're doing, and we ought to sojourn through this life with that in mind, and it'll cause us to live holy. It'll cause us to want to do the will of God, and it'll cause us to see the importance of following Christ. For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by the traditions of your fathers. He said, you know this, that you weren't redeemed by corrupt things such as silver and gold. What did Peter and, I think it was Peter and, I'm sorry, I can't think of the name now, but he said, silver and gold have we none, but what you need, we have it. And they told him about Jesus Christ. And I want to say to those that are listening, maybe they're not saved, you may have all the silver and gold that you could ever hope for. You might think, well, you know, because some denominations, some false churches teach that you can buy somebody's soul and redeem their soul back with silver and gold. Or you might even be a Baptist and think, well, if I put a certain amount of money in the church treasury and I give and do, and you know, some of the most wicked people, I think, in Hollywood and on television, some of the most ungodly people, they're noted for giving to orphanages and helping orphans and homeless people, and they do a lot of good things. I think they're just trying to fill that empty void that they have with the things of silver and gold. You can do all that stuff, and you can be as good as you know to be, but if you're not saved, never repented of your sin and trusted in Christ, then you're vain, you're empty. From your vain conversation received by the traditions of your fathers. You weren't saved. You weren't redeemed. But what were you redeemed by? But with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Oh, what a blessed thought to know that precious trial of our faith he talked about. But now we're redeemed by that precious. When something's precious, it's valuable. It's very highly esteemed. Well, there's nothing any more precious than that blood of Christ. And he was a lamb without blemish. Just like in the Passover lamb, they had to check him out, rub that rod down his back, check for sores and blemishes. And they had to check all that. And I'm going to tell you, even though the lambs that they used, though they checked them and they had to be pretty good, because of a curse, they were blemished some way, but Christ had no blemishes in him, none at all, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. See, Christ was as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. It was already determined that he was slain. He was as good as slain before this world began, because God purposed that he would be slain. But it was made known, manifest in these last times. It was determined, and it was as good as done before the foundation of the world. But it happened in time when Christ came in the fullness of time. Well, our time is coming gone again this week, and God bless you. And we'll begin in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21 the next time we meet with you. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-7918, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.